Hi, this is John Edmiston with Insights for Eternity. And today we're looking at Colossians 2, verses 16 to 19. And we'll be looking at some of the characteristics of a false teacher and of hyper-spiritual people that put us down in the faith. Before we do that, let's pray. Father in heaven, may my words be to your glory. Please open the spiritual eyes and spiritual ears of all who hear, and make these words clear and true to Christ. We ask now in Jesus' name, amen. Let's just look at Colossians 2, 16 to 19 in our Bibles, and I'm using the New American Standard Bible. Therefore, let no one act as your judge in regard to food or drink, or in respect to a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath day, things which are a mere shadow of what is to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. Let no one keep defrauding you of your prize by delighting in self-abasement and the worship of the angels, taking his stand on visions he has seen, inflated without cause by his fleshly mind, and not holding fast to the head, from whom the entire body, being supplied and held together by the joints and ligaments, grows with a growth that is from God. Now the point Paul is making here is right at the beginning. Let no one pass judgment on you. And then he lists the characteristics of these super spiritual people that are inflated, that are puffed up, that are carnal, that are separated from Christ, and which are focusing on the externals rather than the internals. These are the sort of people that want power in a church and will say, I saw this vision, or I have this, or I am more spiritual than you. And there is a fundamental error. They're not running their own race. They're concerned about everyone else around them and their race. Instead of swimming in their lane, they're looking over and saying, aha, this person isn't running as well as me. And they don't understand what's going on in people's lives. They don't understand what the other person might be called to by God. One to this and that to the other. They don't understand that everyone has a different purpose, plan, and calling from God. And instead, they're going around being nasty and judgmental. You see, there's only two things that we really have to worry about. Are we loving God with all our heart and mind and soul and strength? And are we loving our neighbor as ourselves? And when it's coming to looking at our own performance spiritually, we just have to be better than the person we were the day before. We don't have to be better than the pastor down the road, or our relative, or our sister-in-law, or brother-in-law. We don't have to be part of some race against some spiritual standard. Rather, we just have to keep on growing into the image of God, which is Christ Jesus. We have to keep getting closer to Jesus, not to a set of artificial rules and regulations imposed on us by some supposed religious authority. And these rules and regulations often get in the way of people's spiritual growth, which is why Paul starts attacking them now, and as we'll see later on in the next program as well, where we deal with Colossians 2, 20 to 23. So Paul is saying, just run your own race and don't let anyone mess with you. Don't let anyone get into your head and tell you that you're an inferior Christian. Because you're saved, you're sanctified, and you're going to be glorified, and you're going to get a resurrection body, no matter what these super spiritual people say. So these super spiritual people, who think they're better than everyone else, are making a fuss of certain issues. These issues that they were making a fuss about include food, drink, feasts, new moons, Sabbath days, spiritual experiences, and the worship of angels. They are making a big fuss about small things. Romans 14 deals with the first few issues very clearly and tells us that in issues of food and drink and Sabbath days that we have freedom. You can eat and drink whatever you wish as long as it's to the glory of God and doesn't hurt anybody. And when it comes to Sabbath days, one says this day is holy, some say this day is all alike, and there's all sorts of disputes. In Romans 14, it says, let each make up their own mind and do that to the Lord according to their own conscience. And so Paul is instructing us, saying, you make up your own mind about what you can eat and drink and what day you consider holy. You've got freedom to do that. There aren't a whole bunch of rules in Christ saying you've got to do this, or you've got to do that. Because throughout the Roman Empire, people had different days off. A lot of Christians were slaves. They couldn't take the Saturday off or the Sunday off. They might get Tuesday off from their master, if they got a day off at all. So they had their Sabbaths when they could take them, because they were part of a society that did not allow them to be terribly free at that time. And Paul says, that's okay. Just have your Sabbath when you can have your Sabbath, and do so unto the Lord. And for you, every day has to be alike. Well, let it be so, but let's live each day as unto the Lord. So the program that Paul has for people is one of individual sanctification, where each person tries to grow closer to God. Each person tries to be more and more loving, more and more gracious, and where the real issue isn't what you eat or you drink, but faith working through love, resulting in good deeds. Jesus wants to see faith in our hearts. He wants to see us acting in love. He wants to see us doing good deeds. These are the things that matter, not what you eat and what you drink. Now, when it comes to feasts, new moons, and Sabbath days, this comes up to the question of how do we go about our religion? And as I said earlier, many of the early Christians were slaves. They couldn't get to church. They mightn't even be free on that day. They might be beaten or severely hurt if they left their master and went off to a church service. Some were free to do that. Some were not. So the issue of whether they could attend church or not was not the big deal. The fact that they could or could not attend some feast or some new moon or some Sabbath day, something of a relic from the Jewish religion, was not the big issue. It's whether they loved the Lord their God with their whole heart and their whole mind and their whole strength. In Acts 17 and also in Acts chapter 7, it's made clear that God does not dwell in temples made with human hands, that God is the creator of all things and he has no need from us. He doesn't need sacrifices. He doesn't need offerings. He doesn't need anything that we have to give him. We don't have to put money in the plate to feed God, because God, if he was hungry, would tell no one. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He does not need our help to keep on going. God is the God of the universe, and he dwells everywhere. He is present everywhere. And you can preach out in the open field, or you can preach in a church, or you can preach on the internet or on the radio like we're doing now, and you can still have the presence and the power of Almighty God with you. So he said, it doesn't really matter about these feasts, new moons, and Sabbath days. You cannot make them a sign of spirituality. And you can't let anyone judge you just because you didn't make it to a certain service on a certain day. Your relationship is with Christ alone. He is the substance. These things are a shadow of what is to come, which is our great relationship with God in heaven. The other thing that he talks about and says we're not to get fussed over is spiritual experiences and the worship of angels. These people, these super spiritual people, they were saying, oh, I had a visit from this angel, and I had this and I had that, and I had this great vision, and so I am superior to you. You didn't have a great vision, did you? And they put people down like that. And these judgmental people were always going around boasting about how spiritual they were and doing this and doing that. And that is a very dangerous path to take. It can lead to a lot of eccentricity, and it certainly leads to a lot of spiritual hurt. We're not to boast about how spiritual we are. We're simply to love one another and stay connected to the head, which is Christ. People who are proud, people whose minds are puffed up, they have wandered away from Christ and from the simplicity of the faith. If we love Jesus, we will love one another. And our love and our grace and our kindness is what keeps us connected to the Lord. Because God is near to those that are humble and kind, full of grace and love. And as we stay under Christ and under his commandments and walk with him in love and kindness and truth, we will stay connected to Christ and to his body. But when we separate ourselves from other Christians and say, ah, I'm better than you, I am smarter than you, I have my own little theory over here that makes me superior to you, When people get into that mind and into that mode, then they have disconnected themselves from their head, which is Christ, and they've gone off to do their own thing. They're off chasing some spiritual dream, some spiritual fantasy, which is very destructive of the body of Christ, and we're not to listen to them. He says, these people are chasing spiritual fantasies. They're not connected to the source of spiritual nourishment, which is Christ. You see, the old ways of the old religions with temples and sacrifices and offerings and priests and robes, these are just a shadow. They're not the real deal. We don't go after them no matter how impressive they look. We are not to believe the claims of these people that they're spiritually superior to anyone else. If they call themselves archbishop or apostle, it doesn't matter. None of those titles make a person closer to God. It's how they behave. It's how they live. It's how they love other people and walk in humility and truth that counts. So, he says, all this spiritual performance stuff is simply the shadow. It's simply a dark line. It has nothing to do with the great substance, the great glory of heaven where we're going. It has nothing to do with our great relationship with God and with our redemption. These are all trivial things that we are not to be preoccupied by. And then Paul goes on to describe the people in very, very harsh terms. He says, they delight in self-abasement, the worship of angels, taking his stand on visions he has seen, inflated without cause by his fleshly mind, and not holding fast to the head. So these people are trying to enslave Christians. They're trying to take away your prize. They're trying to take away your faith. They're trying to take away your steadfastness in the Lord and hold you captive to themselves, because all of us doubt ourselves. All of us feel spiritually inferior from time to time. We want reassurance that we're on the right track, and they provide this so-called reassurance. If we obey this rule and if we obey that rule, then we're on the right track. But in fact, they're leading us astray. They're defrauding us of the prize that we have in Christ and the reward that we have in Christ, by dragging us along into the same prideful things that they go for. And if we have pride in our heart, we're losing our reward. We're not gaining anything at all. And these places that are full of spiritual pride, they're taking away us from the prize that God has for us in heaven, for those who are loving and humble and kind and gracious. And it says, delighting in self-abasement. Now, self-abasement is putting yourself down. I am unworthy, I'm unworthy, I'm just a sinner saved by grace, I'm a nobody, I'm a wretch and all that. This self-abasement may sound very spiritual, but it doesn't work. It doesn't make people any better. It just sounds very holy. If you have a proper estimate of yourself and you can say, I'm good at this and bad at that, and I need the Lord's help in this area and others, but here's I'm okay and I can help you, that's okay. But if you're constantly beating up on yourself, that's denying the work that God has done in your life. God might have saved you from a great thing. He might have transformed you. You might have a fantastic testimony. Well, share that fantastic testimony. Of course, don't be boastful, but don't continue putting yourself down. It sounds humble. It sounds spiritual. It sounds very wise, but it doesn't work. And we'll look at that in the next broadcast. So get rid of that self-abasement things. Now, these people, the worship of angels, taking stands on vision he has seen, inflated without cause. Now, sometimes you meet these people and you think, my goodness, this person's got a high opinion of themselves. They're inflated. They're puffed up. They're constantly talking about how spiritual they are. And they're wandering around in a spirituality that comes out of their own imagination, just like the visions they think that they've seen. They're living in a state of spiritual self-delusion. They're wandering around, getting their self-importance in life, getting their ego about all the spiritual things they've done or seen or heard or realized. And so religion becomes a source of self-esteem. Instead of a source of love from the cross, it becomes something that puffs them up and makes them feel important. Perhaps their job is not so important. Perhaps they've not done so well in life. And so they compensate by pretending that they know more Bible verses, they know more about God, they've had more spiritual experiences. And so they keep getting more and more and more puffed up until they're a nuisance in the body of Christ. They're wandering around judging people, and in their own mind, they have created a delusional world of self-importance, which God doesn't recognize at all. They think that they're so-and-so and such because they had this vision or this dream, and perhaps it came true and perhaps it didn't. But they've made their world out of their spiritual experiences and by comparing themselves with less mature Christians than themselves. And so they've given themselves a brand on them. They've said, okay, I'm this and I'm that, and these people over here, they're not like me. They're like, they become like the Pharisee in the parable in Luke 16, where he says, he prayed to himself and said, I am not like other men. I tithe twice a week and I do this and I do that. And so it becomes a form of spiritual egotism. And the spiritual ego, this sense of satisfaction that they get in themselves, is the real reason they turn up at church, so that they can perform, so they can get a few minutes down the front, so they can get applause. They're not doing it out of the love of Jesus at all. They're not doing it to grow. They're doing it so that they can feel like an adequate human being, because otherwise they feel inadequate. And religion has become their drug. And that's very sad and it's very unfortunate. But unfortunately, they do get to fairly high positions in the Christian world sometimes. And they can become abusive and they can hurt other people in the body of Christ. So if some of these people are parading around in your church and they're trying to make you feel small as a Christian, just switch them off. Do not listen to them. It's not about what they expect of you. And if you disappoint them, it doesn't matter, because their own sense is about their own importance. So when you disappoint them, you're just disappointing their pride. So take no notice of them and let them drift off. And you just obey the commandments of God that are there in the New Testament for you to obey. And it says, and not holding fast to the head, from whom the entire body, being supplied and held together by the joints and ligaments, grows with a growth which is from God. You see, the head is Jesus. He's the head of the body of Christ. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. And when people go off and they invent their own spirituality, they put up a little ladder that everyone has to climb, and they're always at the top of the ladder. These people have broken away from the head, which is Christ. Instead, they've tried to be their own head of their own small group of people and have followers run after them. That's not what we want. We want you and every other believer to be attached to the head, who is Christ, not to any human being, not to a bishop, to an archbishop, a pastor, or a pope. You are to be attached to Christ, and Christ is the source of your spiritual nutrition through the Holy Spirit who is within you. And the Holy Spirit within you will guide you, will strengthen you, will nourish you with all that flows from Christ. And the love of God will be poured out within your hearts. And your hearts and minds will be full of God in Christ Jesus. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. You must be attached to Christ, not to any denomination, not to any human being, but to Christ in the truth of the Scriptures. And the growth comes with a growth that's from God. God has a growth plan for your life, just like every organ in the body has a different growth plan. My toenail has a different growth plan to my hair. My hair has a different growth plan to my eyeballs. My eyeballs have a different growth plan to my fingers or my sternum or my elbow. God has each part of the body grow in its own separate way for its own use. If the eye grew like the elbow, then it would be useless, because it would be full of calluses and tough parts and bone and gristle, whereas the eye is supposed to have a lens and all those kinds of things. I'm not very biological. But every part of the body has its own growth plan, a growth plan that is from God. In my life, as a teacher, my main growth has been in wisdom. And other people who are evangelists, their growth plan will be in evangelism and how to be a great evangelist and a great communicator. Other people will have a growth plan as a pastor, and they will have a great heart after people and how to run a church. And each of us grows in different ways, and each of us has a growth plan that God has prepared for us. Some people have a growth plan in the gift of helps, and they become more and more helpful throughout their life, and they learn more and more skills in being helpful. And so God shows them how to be a more and more helpful human being. Where other people might have a gift of tongues, and they might be able to pray in particularly powerful ways for other people. And God will cause them to grow in the spiritual gifts of prayer and intercession. And that is their growth plan, and they will walk in that, and it will be different. So every person and every organ in the body of Christ has a different growth plan, and the growth is from God. It is not from us. It is not from any system that we impose upon people. So God causes the growth. It is not us, it is not our teaching, it is not our words, not our wisdom, but it is God who grows you into the kingdom of God and into his own power. You see, it is God that is the reality. It is Christ that is the reality. And in the end, we're all to end up like Jesus, like the image of Jesus Christ. Now, on my own, I cannot come up with my own growth plan. Why is that? Because, first of all, I don't know exactly what the image of God is like in Christ Jesus. I have a fair idea, the scripture tells me, but I haven't got it all worked out. And secondly, if I was to grow perfectly into the image of the Lord Jesus Christ, I'd have to know what I was and what bits I needed to change. And I don't even know that. I don't know what is the correct growth plan to go from being John to being like Jesus. Only God knows the steps that I should take. And God will guide me and God will show me the way that I should be growing into him. So that's going to be very different for every person, which is why the legalists are a problem. They don't acknowledge that every person has a different growth plan. They say, you've all got to grow the same way. You've got to read this Bible and do this and do that and do the other. And you've got to do this and that or that and the other. And so they make up a growth plan which is from them and not from God. But God has an individual growth plan for you. And as you follow that, as you listen to the Savior, as you listen to the voice of God in your heart, as you walk in love and faith and truth and do good works, you will grow with the growth that is from God, not from man, not from a system, not from a particular teacher who says, lays it all out for you. Instead, you will find that you will grow in new ways and different ways. Some people have to pass through a season of deep grief before they can grow. Other people have to go through a season of profound repentance for the past life before they can grow. Other people, like myself, have to be humbled from pride because we grow up from backgrounds that make us proud, and we have to be humbled and go through long seasons of humbling before we can grow. And each growth plan is different. A growth plan for the weak person to become strong and for the strong person to become humble. We come from different societies and different cultures. One person's growth plan may be to get rid of idols and magic and to burn all the junk that they have in their house and to be like Gideon and to walk away from the idol and to tear it down. Another person's growth plan will be to get rid of atheism, to get rid of the unbelief that they learned in a Western society, to get rid of doubt and unbelief and to have a solid faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. They mightn't have any idols to burn, but they might have a lot of spiritual pride that they have to get out of their life. And so we're not to let people judge us because each of us has a different course that we have to walk. Some people have to walk through deep valleys of tragedy. Some people have to walk through intense suffering. And that is part of their growth plan that God has for them and will form their hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So no matter what God's growth plan is from you, because the growth is from God, you should rejoice in your tribulations, knowing that they work perseverance, and perseverance works proven character, and proven character hope, and hope does not disappoint. So you need to just say, okay, I'm going through these trials for a reason. I'm going through this season for a reason, and God's forming me into the image of the Lord Jesus Christ through this, and God will bring me out, and then he'll be in another season where he does another work in my life and heart and mind. So there is no cheap grace. There's no easy way to get all the way up there to become like the Lord Jesus Christ. You are to have faith. You are to let the Holy Spirit work in your heart. You are to listen obediently to the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ and not to be caught up in all the super spirituality that judgmental people try and put on you. There is no system except the growth that is from God, where we love our God, love God with all our heart and mind and soul and strength, and love our neighbor as ourself. Now, finally, how do we ignore these judgmental people? How do you turn them off? When the super spiritual people are pecking at you and making you feel small and telling you that you're inadequate, what do you do? Well, don't be rude to them, but do not let them have any power over you. Just sort of shrug your shoulders like they're an annoying little voice and say in your heart and your mind, you have no authority over me. I'm following the Lord. I'm not following you. I'm not following your prescriptions for my life. And the Bible here tells, and go to the scriptures, go to Colossians and say, The Bible tells me to ignore you. Now, you don't say that to their face, or you'll get in a big fight. But in your mind, you say, the Bible tells me to ignore you, and that's what I'm going to do. I'm not going to listen to your criticisms about my appetite, my food, my drink, my customs, whether I go to this festival or that festival or not. I'm not going to listen to all this nonsense about dreams and visions and see myself as a small person and you as a big person. And if you quietly ignore them and just don't go along with their game, don't go along with their feelings of self-importance, a lot of the legalistic people go and find another church. They say, oh, that church doesn't appreciate my such and such and so, and they will drift off to where they can be applauded. And that's what we call a blessed subtraction, is when an annoying person goes to another church and you just let them drift away with all their legalism, with all their pride, with all their pomp. If you're a strong leader like a pastor, you can rebuke them and tell them that spiritual pride is not welcome in your church. And we don't need spiritually proud people around us. They're disconnected from the head. They don't have the life of God in them. They just have a lot of pride and a lot of self-importance. So when you're dealing with these super spiritual people who think that they're so far above you in the faith, just let them be, let them drift along, but in your own mind, defy them. In your own mind, do not let them judge you. Do not let their harsh words have any authority over your life. Think of them as people who are engaging in foolish chatter that you do not have to take any notice of at all. No matter how loud their voice, no matter how shrill their demands, you do not have to please them. You don't have to get on with them. You don't have to obey them. You don't have to do anything that they say, because they're just concerned with their own spiritual self-importance, and you don't have to take any notice of their own demands. You don't have to fulfill anyone else's egotistical spiritual games. You just stay with Jesus. Don't let people bully you around spiritually. Don't let people boss your spiritual life around, because God has a growth plan for you, and that's made for you, that's tailored for you, and which is yours entirely. So don't let anyone else set your growth plan for you. You just walk with God, walk in faith, walk in love, walk in the Holy Spirit. Now, God bless you all. Have a great day. This is John Edmiston signing off. Amen.